Good morning. For those who are able, please stand in the honor of God's word. Today's reading is from Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subjected to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Here ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For the sound guys, I'm going to be using the pulpit mic today. I totally forgot about putting on my little wireless mic, and I don't have my iPad powered up to change the slides, so I'm going to rely on you guys to do that too. See what happens when you think you're all ready for worship? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring these words to life in our hearts. Your Holy Spirit would convict us where we need to see that we have a reason to change, and empower us for the changes that we need. In your name we pray. Amen. It's interesting that Linda talked about 9/11 today. And actually just want to remind you that 9/11 this year is on a Saturday, so that open house is a Saturday. Just want to make that clear. But one of the things that got plastered all over the place on 9/11 was never forget. Never forget. And, you know, I'm assuming that kind of thing happened at Pearl Harbor and other big events like that throughout people's lives. But I want you to never forget what Jesus has done for you on the cross. It's easy to get busy. It's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to get going into, you know, your plans, your agenda, my plans, my agenda. But what Jesus experienced on the cross can be summed up in one word: excruciating. Do you know what that word means? Excruciate literally means from the cross. That's the root word, the root meaning of that word, from the cross. Think of what Jesus went through on the cross for you. He did it for you. Why would Jesus allow your sins to take him to the grave? Because he loves you. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. And that's the kind of love we're going to be looking at today in the text. But never forget, he did that because he loves you, because he wants you to be with him, not just in eternity. Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. He wants you to be with him today, dealing with the issues that you're dealing with, the struggles that you have, the changes that you need to make. He'll empower you to do those through His Holy Spirit. And when we face temptations, you know, there's not one temptation Jesus can't overcome if we surrender it back to Him. You know what, I've used this illustration before. Temptation is like fire. Let's pretend I'm in a room, the room's on fire. I'm okay. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to enjoy this because I like temptation. The room is on fire. Oh, I'm going to get burned up. Yeah, it's okay. It's crazy. But we do that. And we might not see it that clearly, but we do that. And He can overcome every single of them. He says, when you're tempted, He will make a way out. He'll make a way of escape. And that's what He does for us. Jesus can be victor over every temptation we face when we surrender it to Him. So I want to start today with a warning, and need to put this up on the slide. Next slide. If you are not a blood-bought, born-again, know-that-you're-saved-by-Jesus Christian, this sermon is not for you. I don't usually say that kind of stuff, you know? This is for believers. This message is for believers. If you're not a believer in Christ, and that's kind of why I started with that little bit about never forgetting what Jesus has done for you, hopefully, you know, that you'll come to that saving grace. But if you're not a Christian, these words that Andy pointed out, I love Andy's little addition to my message and figuring out how many words are to wives and how many words are to men. I've never done that before. I've never noticed that before. I've never heard that before. So thank you. Okay, so we're going to jump in at verse 21. That's the next slide. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, if you look carefully, you'll notice that S is not a capital S. This is the end of a sentence. This is the end of a paragraph that starts at verse 17. But I think, and this is where you got to be a Berean, I'm out on the limb, sawing myself off here, okay? I'm out on the limb. I think this verse also fits with all the following verses, which talks a lot about submission. Submitting to whom? To one another. Now, that's to brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's also to spouses. Because when we get into this submission section, there's a lot of junk that's been thrown out there about it. And I want to start with this, submitting to one another. It gives a whole different feel to what we're about to hear in this. Much of what I'm going to share today comes from Dr. Emerson Eggerich. His name will be on the screen in a little bit. It's a weird name. But he does these, he was a pastor for 30 years, and he does these seminars called Love and Respect. And those two words are found in verse 33. We'll get there. But I remember the first time I heard him teach on this. I was driving in my car, listening to Focus on the Family or something on Christian radio, and he was being interviewed. And he talked about this love and respect, and I thought, like, I have never seen that. I've never heard that. It's in Ephesians 5:33. Oh, yeah, sure. I've read that dozens of times. I get home, open up Ephesians 5:33. It's right there. Have you ever had that experience? Somebody talks about something in the Word of God, and you think, I've never seen that. I don't know anything about that. And then you go and look it up and say, well, I'll be. It's right there. So he talks about the differences that husbands and wives, men and women, can use the exact same words and yet mean totally different things. Put up the next slide. If your wife says, I have nothing to wear, she means, I have nothing new. If a man says, I have nothing to wear, he means, I have nothing clean. Exact same words. Maybe even said with the same emotion. Means totally different things. God created us male and female. We're wired differently. And it causes problems in relationships. If two people say the exact same thing and mean totally different things, no wonder we're going, what? What did you say? What do you mean? You mean? Oh, come on. You can't possibly mean that. And we disrespect them. It's powerful, powerful stuff we're going to look at today. Now we come to the main part of it in verses 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Go on to the next one. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is where men stupidly think they can boss their wives around. And if you think that's what this says, I think this message is for you, okay? It does not say that. You know what? You know who wants us to interpret it that way? That I'm the man, and woman, you better do as I say. You know who wants us to interpret it like that? Satan. You want to empower Satan? You want to go his way? You want to have him ruling in your marriage? Then be just like that. I'm not exaggerating. He loves that. He loves to destroy marriages. And stubbornness and pride will do it every time. I'm talking to men. This little passage is the part that Andy says is for women. But men have abused this, have misused it, and have demanded that you love me. You might show obedience to somebody who demands that they love you. But on the inside, what are you feeling? Resentment, anger, bitterness. So if I command you to love me and demand that you love me, what's that relationship going to be like? It's not going to be good. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be good. And that's why Satan wants us to see those things and to do those things. Do you see Jesus pounding submission into us? You're the church. You submit to me. I'm the head of the church. Do you see that? Is that scriptural? No, 1,000 times no. He gains this submission through his unconditional love, which he showed for you in taking your sins upon himself on the cross. Wow, that is love. And when we see that kind of love, what do we do? We repent. We say, Lord, what can I do for you? I want to follow you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. And it works the same way in marriage. So we, men, have to show unconditional love. And in fact, when we get to verse 33, we're going to see that. That's what God's commanding the man to do. And he's calling the woman to show respect. Let's go on to verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wife. And this is agape love. Unconditionally love your wives, just as Christ also unconditionally loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. Go on to the next one. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy. That means set apart. Doesn't mean perfect. Set apart without blemish. Do you want your wife to be like that? Then that's what you have to do. You have to sacrifice. You have to love her with that unconditional love. What most Christians hear when they are to unconditionally love their wives, as Christ unconditionally loved the church, say, yeah, I would die for her because that's what it said. Love the church as Christ love the church. And what did he do? He died for her. And every man will say, and they'll mean it when they say it, I would die for her. I'll take a bullet for her. I mean, if the house is being robbed, I'm going after the intruders. I'm going to be the protector. God wired us this way. But if she shows you something that needs to change in you, are you willing to die to that? That's the tough question. You know what? When you work on a message, when you work on God's word, as I've been working on this week, God's word gets in there and it starts doing stuff that you don't think of, you don't expect. And as I'm working on this message about unconditional love, and that's what I'm supposed to be giving to Paula, God opened my eyes to something. Now, when I do those unconditional acts of love, which I've done, but in the back of my mind, I think, now she'll see. Now she'll fill in the blank. When that thought hits the back of my mind, is that an unconditional love? No, it's not. I'm expecting something in return. So I'm not loving her unconditionally. And that was tough. I went home. After God revealed that to me, I went home and I said, I need to tell you something. That God showed me exactly what I just said to you. God showed me I've been trying to love you unconditionally, but expecting something from you in return. And that is not unconditional love. And I asked her to forgive me. And she did. But that's what we have to do. We have to do this without expecting things in return. And let God be Lord of our marriages. I'm not her God. Husbands aren't the God of their wives. That's that, you better do this. And yeah, that's how Satan wants us to look at that. Nor are wives the God of their husbands. We both submit to one another. That's why I start this on verse 21. I think it's so powerful when we start with mutual submission and then look at what each of us have to do. So I'm going to ask this again. Are you willing to spiritually die to something? Put up the next slide. Christian men, are you willing to put to death something which has become a problem in how you relate to your wife? Whew. Oh, yeah, I'll take a bullet for her, but will I change like this? It's a tough, tough question. It's one that the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. I don't like this stuff. I don't like when God works in me like this. But the end result is so much better than me being, you know, when you give a service of unconditional love but expect something in return, you know what you're doing? You're manipulating. I might not have said those words out loud that I'm expecting this in return, but I was being manipulative. It's so much better when I can give a gift in love and just let it be. That's how Christ loves us. Now, let's say you're struggling and you can't think of a thing that you've said or done or not said or not done that's caused an issue in your relationship with your wife. She beat me to it. Michelle just said, she said it quietly. She said, ask her. Sit down and say, is there anything I've said or done or not said or not done that's been a barrier in our relationship? Hang on. As soon as she gets over the shock, picks her jaw up off the floor, you're going to hear something. I'm not a betting man, but I'm willing to bet you're going to hear something. And I'm asked the same question just a little bit differently. Put up the next slide. Are you willing to die to whatever has become a problem in your marriage just as Jesus died for you? Spiritually die to that. Because that's the only way it can happen. That's the only way it can work is, Lord, put this to death in me. Help me to see how to change. Give me the power to change what I have to change so that my marriage can be what you want it to be. Okay, let's drop down to Ephesians 5:33. Put that up on the screen. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife, and that's agape, unconditional love, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I highlighted those words there just so they would stand out and you'd see that that's exactly what Scripture says. Love and respect. It's simple. It's not easy. It is hard work. And it's just as hard for the ladies to do this, to do the respect side. Okay? Why does God command, shouldn't he command the women to love? I mean, that's their nature. They love. When a little kid gets hurt, who do they go to? Mommy. And she snuggles and cuddles and wipes tears and soothes away. Get over it, kid. That's the dad's reaction. Come on, suck it up. You know? So why doesn't he command the women to do that? They're made for that. And respect. Men naturally give respect. When they see a man do something great, they respect that. Look at the Good Samaritan that we saw on today. He takes this guy, he gives him CPR, first aid, puts him on the ambulance donkey, takes him to the hospital. I mean, there weren't hospitals back then, but takes him to the place and hands over his Visa card. And says, I don't care what it costs, charge it to my account. We respect that. Man, so, but it says women are supposed to respect, men are supposed to love. Why is it? My answer is so that we don't depend on ourselves. If love comes naturally to women and respect comes naturally to men, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, what we're wired to do, what we're created to do, but if I am not created to love, then I have to go to God and say, help me love. Help me show unconditional love, which is why the Holy Spirit showed me that I wasn't doing it. Even though I proudly think, oh yeah, I did this just wonderful thing for my wife. I wasn't. I was manipulating her. So I go back to God and say, first, forgive me. Second, empower me to do this. And not expect something in return. I thought of Captain Sully landing this aircraft on the Hudson River several years ago. I just saw the movie last week, 2 weeks ago. I'd never seen it before, so I found it, watched it. It was great. Man, this guy, even months, years later, the survivors of this incident get together, and what do they have for Sully? Respect, because the amazing thing that he did. That's what men do. So if women aren't wired for respect, what do? The same thing. You go to God and you say, Lord, my husband is not respectful, doesn't even act respectfully. Help me to show him respect. So that's why it's put this way, I think. All right. Dr. Emerson Eggerich has this thing called the crazy cycle. I think that's the next slide, yeah. Without love, she reacts without respect. But without respect, he reacts without love. So the very thing your wife needs is what you're not giving her. And the very thing your husband needs is not what you're giving him. Well, he doesn't deserve respect. Well, I'm not going to love her if she acts like that. And it's just, it's called the crazy cycle. And I think there's wisdom here. So how do you get off the crazy cycle? Well, men have to start showing unconditional love. And when we do that, how's she going to react? With respect. It stops the cycle. Did you know that this is something the women are told to do? And so what do? When you're told to do something that you either can't or don't want to do? You go to God, you repent, you ask him for help. The same idea works for either male or female, okay? The world says that respect needs to be earned. That's not what the Bible says. Put up the next slide, 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Now, this is for everybody, men and women. But this says respect is what we give, regardless of if they deserve it. It's powerful, powerful stuff. The world says you have to earn respect. The Bible says you give respect. Let's go on to the next one, 1 Peter 3:1-2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Simple. Easy. This is gut-wrenchingly hard. When somebody has treated you disrespectfully and you're supposed to respect them, that's impossible. Without Christ, it is. So we go to our knees or however we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, forgive me. I've hated this person. I've wanted harm this person. Take this away from me. Put it to death in me. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit and show me how to be respectful. It's God at work in our marriages that makes a Christian marriage. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. And I love the power of the word. I didn't think this was going to go this way this week. When God opens up my eyes and says, hey, if you're going to get up and talk about this, I need to show you something, buddy. And I don't like that. I don't like it when God does that. But I'm so thankful that he did. Do you think when I asked Paula to forgive me, she just went, no, you're a jerk. No, there's healing. There's restoration. We're coming back together. Don't you want that in your marriage? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I want to close with something from the workbook. We have this on a set of DVDs and some workbooks the church owns that you can use. But I want to close with something he uses in his workbook. Put up the next slide. Are you saying he needs unconditional respect equal to her need for unconditional love? Yes. Go on to the next slide. Like needing oxygen, she needs unconditional love, and he needs unconditional respect. Both have equal needs, though these needs are not the same. We need respect. They need love. Okay? Go on to the next slide. Unconditional love means there's no circumstance that can get a husband to show hostility toward his wife. Well, that one sink in for a minute. No circumstance. How do you do that? I'm a reactor. I see them. It's out of my mouth before the thought has even started to whirl around up there. How do you do that? You ask God. God, show me. Show me how to do this. Help me. Give me the power to do this. Do you think God doesn't want that? Of course he wants that. Okay, go on to the next one. That his dogged decision, she does not make him harsh. That is his dogged decision. I'm not going to react like that. She does not make him harsh and hostile, but reveals these things about him. It's what's inside that I'm reacting to, and I need to see that. Okay, next one. Unconditional respect means there's no situation that can get a wife to be derisive. Are you a reacting wife? Yeah? Then you also go to God and say, help me. Help me to do this. Help me to see this. Help me to put this into work in my life. Okay, next one. Unconditional respect is biblical teaching. And we looked at that, those verses from 1 Peter. Okay, that's a lot. Simple, but not easy. If it was easy, we wouldn't even need to talk about it. We'd all be doing it. Oh, isn't this wonderful? But God shows us that we need to rely on him so that our marriages can be blessed as one of his marriages. Amen. Now may the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
So I forgot this announcement back when we did them, but I want to, it's not really an announcement, but a reminder that next Saturday down on Lee Street, Ernie kicks off the Washington County chapter of this nationwide Sleep in Heavenly Peace that builds beds for kids without beds. You don't have to be a carpenter. You just need to have a heart for the fact that people live in our county without beds. So there's a sign up online. Find Ernie's Facebook page, mine, somewhere. There'll be a link to it. I don't know what it's called, but he would rather you sign up and not come than come without signing up, however that works. So look for it. Hope to see you there.
And with that, we invite you to stand, and we'll wrap up our service.